QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for June 19, 2013. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this month's e-letter, we have Hurricane Center Station Test Proves Readiness, National Traffic System Digital Hums Along, Southern Florida EC Wins Award for Leadership, Georgia EMA FEMA Aries Test Mobile Command Vehicles, Gulf Coast Amateur Radio Club Presents at Military Officers Meeting, Renowned Storm Chaser Tim Samaras, WJ0G, Killed in Oklahoma Tornado, Public Outreach with NTS Messaging, 2013 Hurricane Season Forecast, Active, 2013 Hurricane Season On-the-Air Monitoring Checklist, Hurricane Season 2013, Keep ARRL Headquarters Informed, July Hurricane Webinar Planned, and K1CE for a final, Try New Things. Those are the headlines. Now the news. Hurricane Center Station Test Proves Readiness. On June 1st, the National Hurricane Center Station WX4NHC was activated for its annual on-the-air live event to test radio equipment, antennas, and computers for the 2013 hurricane season. Julio Ripoll, WD4R, the WX4NHC amateur radio station's assistant coordinator, reported, "As part of our test, we operated on most of the modes that are available to us at WX4NHC, including HF phone and CW, HF and VHF APRS, Echolink IRLP, VHF and UHF simplex, and local repeaters. We received reports via our online hurricane report form and email. All of our radios, 7 antennas, and 2 dedicated computers tested well. Although the HF propagation in the morning was very poor due to a solar storm, operators managed to make contacts with many states, Caribbean islands, and South America, mainly on 20 meters. The afternoon VOIP hurricane net on Echolink IRLP was very successful, with over 100 contacts made." Mr. Ripoll added, "We made a special direct contact, the first that I can remember, with Bob Robichaud, VE1MBR, at the Canadian Hurricane Center." Amateur radio station WX4NHC has been a permanent part of NHC for 33 years and has 30 dedicated volunteer operators that operate the station in shifts during hurricane situations in the Atlantic, Caribbean, Gulf, and East Pacific. National Traffic System Digital hums along. The National Traffic System Digital, or NTSD, consists of a group of fully automated store and forward bulletin board systems known as mailbox operations. These MBOs, or hubs, operate on HF using high-speed PAC-TOR 3 protocols on a 24x7 basis, moving formal message traffic. The goal of NTSD is to move that traffic via digital means to the closest point of delivery, at which point it is then removed from the automated system by operators known as Digital Relay Stations, or DRSs. The DRSs then take this traffic to the manual NTS system via the nets at region, section, and local levels for any additional necessary relay and ultimate delivery. there were a total of 12,425 pieces of message traffic handled by the eastern portion of the United States Area NTSD during May. This was accomplished by 8 automated MBO stations representing NTS Regions 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8, with a total of 39 individual digital relay stations reporting at regional, section, or local NTS levels. A similar level of activity for May also existed in both the central and Pacific areas of NTSD. This data for May 2013 is notable for two reasons. First, it is the first time that the report includes activity data from Peter Dintelman, DL4FN/DF0NTS, operating in the role of German Digital Relay Station, or DEUDRS. Peter's participation, along with that of Greg Mossop, G0DUB, in his position as the Emergency Coordinator for the International Amateur Radio Union, or IARU, Region 1, represents a new initiative towards the future development of a fully global automated digital amateur-to-amateur emergency communication messaging system. The second is that this report is the last one from Jerry Galloway, KD8CYK, a Michigan digital relay station. Dave Strubel, WB2FTX, the Eastern Area Digital Coordinator for NTSD, reported, "I would like to thank Jerry for his many years of dedicated service to NTSD and Michigan NTS." Southern Florida EC wins award for leadership. Larry Zimmer, W4LWZ, Aries EC for Lee County, was presented the General James H. Doolittle Award by Lee County EOC Operations Chief Sandra Tapfumani. The General James H. Doolittle Award is presented to the volunteers who exemplify the volunteer spirit in their generous commitment of time, effort, and support to our endeavors. The award is relatively new, with the first recipient being John Ludlam in 2010. Larry is only the second volunteer to receive it. Now it's time to take a short break to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for June 19, 2013. Georgia EMA, FEMA, Aries test mobile command vehicles. Georgia Emergency Management Agency, or GEMA, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, conducted a test deployment of mobile command vehicles, MCVs, during the week of May 13th through May 16th, 2013. The test at Stone Mountain Park in Georgia was to demonstrate and examine the capabilities of the MCVs. Aries was called upon to test its capabilities during field operations there. The Georgia statewide Aries HFNet was called into special sessions on Tuesday, May 14th from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., and on Wednesday, May 15th from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. A net was called each hour during the day for check-ins and traffic. Several different net control stations were used and tested. A special session of the Georgia State Net was called at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday on 3549 kHz using medium-speed CW, with a special session of the Georgia Digital PSK31 Net called on Wednesday on 3583 kHz at 10:30 a.m. Other special nets were called as needed. In addition to the statewide HF nets, Georgia D-Star and Georgia WinLink 2000 systems were active. Several repeaters in the Metro Atlanta area were also active in support of these operations. All Aries operators and groups were encouraged to participate in this drill to demonstrate the capabilities of amateur radio. Tim Holcomb, K5AES of Tucker, Georgia, operated station WX4GMA at GEMA headquarters. Mr. Holcomb reported that the DeKalb Aries VHF repeater, located in Exchange Park, was originally listed as the main service, but the signal from the MCV site was blocked by Stone Mountain. So the W4BOC VHF repeater on the top of Stone Mountain was used. Mr. Holcomb added, "The communications were basically good for the entire exercise, with the expected weaker HF signals from the MCV teams due to the close proximity of the State Operations Center, or SOC, to Stone Mountain Park. However, all MCV teams were able to make contact with the SOC on HF to verify their task completion. Most messages were comprised of MCV grid coordinates for location. VHF D-Star repeaters also provided clear, reliable communications from the MCVs to the SOC. Gulf Coast Amateur Radio Club presents at Military Officers Meeting. On March 28, 2013, Bill Pfaff Jr., KI4QJK, president of Gulf Coast Amateur Radio Club in Port Richey, Florida, gave a presentation to the Military Officers Association of America, MOAA, Suncoast Chapter in Port Richey, Florida. The presentation consisted of the history of amateur radio, the hobby aspects, and its long record of community service and emergency communications. Mr. Pfaff had set up a typical ham shack with all of the items found in most stations. He also handed out brochures on hurricane preparation from the Pabst County, Florida Office of Emergency Management. The attendees were amazed at the current state of amateur radio and the advancement of the hobby and its importance in providing emergency communications. The fact that we can communicate with the International Space Station and that the hobby is growing more now than ever was dazzling to the audience. Mr. Pfaff received a certificate of appreciation and a gift from the MOAA chapter president, retired U.S. Army Colonel Robert Ayers, that showed their appreciation for his presentation. Renowned storm chaser Tim Samaras, WJ0G, killed in Oklahoma tornado. Professional storm chasers Tim Samaras, WJ0G, his son Paul Samaras, and fellow investigator Carl Young, were killed on May 31st near El Reno, Oklahoma, when an EF-5 tornado suddenly changed path and slammed into their vehicle. They were unable to escape. According to ABC News, Tim Samaras, an ARRL member, was found dead in his car, still in his seatbelt. Paul Samaras and Carl Young were pulled from the car by the tornado. One of the men was found half a mile away. The Samarases and Mr. Young were with Twistex, that's the Tactical Weather Instrumented Sampling in and Near Tornadoes Experiment. TwistX is a scientific field research program founded by Tim Samaras to better understand tornado genesis, maintenance and decay processes, and to gain insight and knowledge of the seldom sampled near-surface internal tornado environment. The TwistX team has been featured on the Discovery Channel's Storm Chasers. Tim Samaras holds the Guinness World Record for recording the greatest pressure drop ever measured inside a tornado, 100 millibars, near Manchester, South Dakota, on June 24, 2003, and is the only person to ever record video from inside a tornado. In his biography on the Weather Channel's website, Tim Samaras said that he used amateur radio equipment when he chased storms. "Being that we are on a scientific mission," he explained, "we carry about 8 to 10 probes, along with other weather instruments, cameras, laptops, GPS navigation, cellular telephone, ham radio equipment, I'm a ham radio operator, tools, winches, saws, well, the whole garage, and a first aid kit in case we come across tornado victims. Most of our crew is first aid trained. I chase the most powerful storms on the planet," Tim Samaras said in a video on his personal website, www.thunderchase.com. I'll repeat that URL for Tim Samaras's personal website. It's www.thunderchase.com. On the website, Mr. Samaras says, "All my life I've been on a quest to figure out how these things worked. Tornadoes have represented the biggest challenge, as they are very fleeting in nature and extremely difficult to pinpoint their proposed destruction. At times I have mixed feelings about chasing these storms. On the one hand, they are incredibly beautiful, and on the other hand, these powerful storms can create devastating damage that change people's lives forever." We'll pause now for a moment of silence in remembrance of storm chasers Tim Samaras, WJ0G, his son Paul Samaras, and Carl Young. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for June 19, 2013. It's time again to allow stations to identify. Public Outreach with NTS Messaging. The ARRL National Traffic System routinely passes practice messages to help operators build and maintain their traffic handling skills. One way to create such messages is to solicit them from the public at preparedness fairs, exhibit booths, and, of course, field day. Disaster preparedness for individuals and families includes having out-of-state contacts that can be notified in case of an emergency. When curious visitors approach the table, explain the importance of having such information. Be sure to emphasize the fact that in a real incident, amateur radio may be the best way to reach their designated contacts. The message form is easy to use. Your intake person simply inserts the addressee and sender information from the visitor and passes the completed form to the NTS operator, who adds the appropriate header information and sends the message on to a regular traffic net. It's a terrific way to engage the public, and it will heighten their appreciation for our disaster communication capabilities. Thanks to Clara Wall, KJ6CNO, an ARRL official relay station, for this submission. 2013 hurricane season forecast, active. Forecasters with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, are calling for an active or extremely active 2013 Atlantic hurricane season. In its initial outlook for the 2013 Atlantic hurricane season, which began June 1st and runs through November 30th, NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, or CPC, is forecasting a 70% likelihood of 13 to 20 named storms with winds of 39 miles per hour or higher. 7 to 11 could become hurricanes with winds of 74 miles per hour or higher, including 3 to 6 major hurricanes with winds of 111 miles per hour or higher. These ranges are well above the seasonal average of 12 named storms, 6 hurricanes, and 3 major hurricanes. NOAA Acting Administrator Catherine Sullivan explained, "With the devastation of Hurricane Sandy fresh in our minds and another active season predicted, everyone at NOAA is committed to providing life-saving forecasts in the face of these storms and ensuring that Americans are prepared and ready ahead of time." Ms. Sullivan continued, "As we saw firsthand with Sandy, it's important to remember that tropical storm and hurricane impacts are not limited to the coastline. Strong winds, torrential rain, flooding, and tornadoes often threaten inland areas far from where the storm first makes landfall. According to the Climate Prediction Center, the three climate factors that strongly control Atlantic hurricane activity are expected to come together, producing an active or extremely active 2013 hurricane season. These three factors are: 1. A continuation of the atmospheric climate pattern, including a strong West African monsoon that is responsible for the ongoing era of high activity for Atlantic hurricanes, which began in 1995. 2. Warmer than average water temperatures in the tropical Atlantic Ocean and Caribbean Sea. And 3. El Niño is not expected to develop and suppress hurricane formation. Gary Bell, the CPC's lead seasonal hurricane forecaster, said, "This year, oceanic and atmospheric conditions in the Atlantic Basin are expected to produce more and stronger hurricanes. These conditions include weaker wind shear, warmer Atlantic waters, and conducive wind patterns coming from Africa." NOAA cautioned that its seasonal hurricane outlook is not a hurricane landfall forecast and does not predict how many storms will hit land or where a storm will strike. 2013 Hurricane Season On-the-Air Monitoring Checklist. Rick Palm, K1CE, reminds us to monitor major HF hurricane networks during events this season. The Hurricane Watch Net, or HWN, on 14.325 MHz, is one of several key players. It serves the Atlantic, Caribbean, and Gulf of Mexico regions and activates when a storm is within 300 miles of land in coordination with the National Hurricane Center in Miami. Frequent and detailed information is issued on NETS when storms pose a threat to the U.S. mainland. In addition to hurricane spotting, local communicators may announce that residents have evacuated from low-lying flood areas. Other amateurs across the country can help by relaying information, keeping the net frequency clear, and by listening. See the HWN's website at www.hwn.org for more information. The net works closely with WX4NHC, the amateur radio station at the NHC. The Saturn Net, or Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, provides emergency communication support to the Salvation Army and populations at large. They also handle health and welfare traffic. Saturn holds high-profile nets on 14.265 MHz, 20 meters upper sideband during major hurricanes, and has a long history of excellence, discipline, and service. You may refer to the Saturn website at saturn.org for more information, and Saturn is spelled S-A-T-E-R-N. The Maritime Mobile Service Net, or MMSN, meets on 14.300 MHz and is composed of hams who serve and assist those in need of communications on the high seas. The primary purpose of the MMSN is for handling traffic from maritime mobile stations. The network is recognized by the United States Coast Guard and has an excellent working relationship with that agency. The MMSN has handled hundreds of incidents involving vessels in distress and medical emergencies in remote locations, as well as passing health and welfare traffic in and out of affected areas. They also work closely with the NWS and the NHC by relaying weather reports from maritime stations. The VOIP Skywarn and Hurricane Net operates by combining both the Echolink and IRLP-linked repeater networks while handling critical wide-area communications during major severe weather and tropical events. These operations have gained national stature in recent years and are a critical partner with WX4NHC. Whenever tropical weather is imposing a threat to the U.S. mainland and certain other areas of interest, VOIPWXNet will be fully operational. You may also see the VOIP Skywarn website for more information. That URL is www.voipwx.net with no spaces. That's www.voipwx.net. During hurricane events, there are usually two or three regional nets, usually on 40 or 20 meters, that are key assets to the disaster response on an ad hoc basis. Watch for these nets, as well as the nationally recognized networks described above, this season. Don't transmit on their frequencies unless you are absolutely sure you have something substantive to add, and then only under the direction of the net control station. We'll pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL e-letter for June 19, 2013. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting. The ARRL e-letter may be heard on the WB3GXW repeater on 147.225 MHz in Silver Spring, Maryland, and we thank John Creel for providing this service. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Now back to the news. Hurricane season 2013. Keep ARRL headquarters informed. July hurricane webinar planned. ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, told us that when ARES activates in response to any tropical event, it is crucial that information flows up through the ARRL section and is reported to ARRL headquarters. Mr. Corey explained, "These reports allow us to develop the situational awareness and disaster intelligence that is required for us as an organization to support the sections that are impacted. In this way," he says, "we are able to respond to relevant requests from the media, and finally, to coordinate with the governmental and non-governmental organizations. This information also allows us to make the decision on whether to activate the ARRL Headquarters Emergency Response Team to support and coordinate the operations." Mr. Corey also noted that in July 2013, the ARRL will host a webinar on the 2013 Atlantic hurricane season. Details will be posted on the ARRL website, as well as in the ARES e-letter, the official ARRL ARES Twitter feed, and in the ARRL letter. All those interested in public service and disaster communications are invited to participate. Now, K1CE for a final. Try new things. Rick Palm says, "I recently loaded the software for RMS Express Winmore and managed to send an email message to myself via the Telnet mode. And I have moved on to adjusting the sound card and software for transmitting email messages over the air on the HF bands. Winmore is a sound card mode that is a less expensive alternative to the hard multi-mode data controllers, while admittedly sacrificing some efficiencies. The RMS Express Winmore combination sees a lot of use in disaster response communications planning and operations. And finally, I have spent more time on D-Star, thanks to a local D-Star repeater, KJ4RYH, just a few blocks away from my home here in Daytona Beach, Florida. There are some nuances, to be sure, and a bit of a learning curve to negotiate, but it is a heck of a lot of fun, has a great deal of potential for ARES applications, and will continue to be a good summer project for me. Diversity and the ability to perpetually find something new in ham radio after all these years is one of its diamond facets. 73, Rick Palm, K1CE, ARES e-letter editor. And that's the ARRL ARES audio e-letter for June 19, 2013. The ARRL ARES audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the national organization for amateur radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.